Good morning, good morning. I'm so thankful y'all are all here. We have a full house tonight. Amen? Amen. So, God has something for you today. We've already had a great service so far. I've gotten something, but who's ready to get more today? Amen? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray over this service today. I thank you, Father, that you are using me to speak answers into the congregation's life today. Father, I thank you that each and every person comes ready to receive in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that your word is ringing true in the service today. I thank you, Father, that you help them to be doers of what I say today and from your word, and not just hearers only. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we're going to start off strong in the book of Revelations, if you want to turn there. Amen. Revelations 1. And verse 14. And it says, "These things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." And so, you know, this is a heavy, heavy verse right here. But God doesn't want a lukewarm Christian, amen? God wants somebody who is on fire and hot for him, amen? And lukewarm, the definition of it is showing little ardor, zeal, enthusiasm, or being indifferent. And we need to ask ourselves, is that us in the kingdom of God? Are we being indifferent towards the kingdom of God? And you may say, oh no, I love God, I am going to church, but what does your everyday life look like? What are your actions showing? Because you can say something, but are you incorporating God in your everyday life? And so let's turn to Romans 12 next. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. All right. And it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in prayer or in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulations, continuing steadfastly in prayer." And so, whenever I was praying about what to minister today, God put it on my heart to encourage you that God doesn't want a Sunday-only Christian. He wants you to be fervent in the Spirit, and he wants you to be an on-fire-for-God Christian. Amen? So that's what I'm going to talk about today. It says right here in Romans 12, it says, "Not lagging in diligence, fervent in prayer, and serving the Lord." And that's how we need to be in our life, because he's talking to Christians right here, and he's telling them instructions on how to live their life. Amen? And so, you know, and before you're like, oh, I'm on fire for God, I'm excited, or maybe you're just like taking yourself out of this sermon. But we can all, like even I mean, all of us can go up higher in our relationship with God. We can all come up to a higher level, and that's what I am trying to instill in you today, is that God wants us to take the next step further, and he wants us to be not just doing what we want to do and not pursuing him in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so, lots of pages to turn here. I write a lot of notes, and I don't really say them all. And so I have a very thick packet today, but don't worry, it's okay. All right, so Paul's giving us the fundamentals here on how God desires us to be. He's desiring us to be, I mean, it says in Revelations that I read, he wants us to not be lukewarm. And, you know, you may be thinking, like, just ask yourself. And it's no condo bondo, right? Because if you ask yourself and you're like, oh man, I've not been an on fire for God Christian. Well, today's your day. Today's your day, amen? This is your day to change. Amen? And so we need to be fervent. And that's actually, if you're writing notes, that's the title of my message is a fervency. Because God wants us to be fervent. And I'm going to tell you what that means. And why did I choose the word fervent? Because it's in Romans 12. It says it right here. He wants us to be fervent in spirit. And so what does fervent mean? I bet y'all don't use that in your everyday language. Probably not. I don't. Maybe y'all do. Scholarly people you are. All right. So fervency means having a passionate intensity, a great warmth, and a fire. That's how God wants us to be in the Spirit, is having a passionate intensity, a great warmth, and a fire. We just can't wait to do the things of God, amen? And we are have that hunger on the inside of us. Like Pastor talked about on Wednesday, how we need to be having a hunger towards Him. Amen? And so, I skipped ahead in my notes a lot, but let me find where I am. All right, so let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9. Well, yeah, go ahead and turn there. I wasn't going to have you turn there, but why not? And, you know, you may say, we need to do it because we have purpose in our hearts. And you may say, oh, I do it to check a checklist off because I know it's important, I know you need to do it, but it's not necessarily applying to our everyday life. But let me turn there myself, actually. 2 Corinthians 9. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Chapter 9 and not, okay, here it is, in verse 7. 9:7. It's talking about giving, just giving in general here. And it says, so let not each of us give, or let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so I feel like we can take that verse and apply it to our general life and say that we shouldn't be doing things out of necessity or grudgingly, but because we've purposed in our heart and we have a heart after God that is ready to pursue Him and ready to go to the next level in the name of Jesus. And so you may say, oh, I'm doing it. I'm reading one chapter a day at 5 o'clock every single day. And, you know, I do that. But is that an on fire for God attitude if we're just doing it to check off a check mark and not thinking about it the rest of the day? But God wants us to do it because we have purpose in our heart, because we've purposed in our heart to be passionate about Him, be on fire for Him in the name of Jesus. And so let's turn to Colossians 3. You know, I really said I wasn't gonna like come off this strong, but it's okay. It's okay. Y'all are responding good, so. All right, Colossians 3, verse 22. And it says, bondservants, obey all things your masters, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that the Lord, you will receive the inheritance, the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And so, before I go into this verse, you may say, I'm not a bondservant. Well, let's turn to, we don't have to turn there, but you could put it up on the screen, Romans 1:1. And it says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. So we can consider ourselves to be bondservants in the kingdom of heaven. I want to serve the Lord, and I want to serve the kingdom of God. And so I'm taking this verse and applying it to myself, because I'm a bondservant in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And so it says in the God's Word translation of this verse, do it wholeheartedly, as though you were working for your real master, not merely for humans. So that's just, as we do things for the kingdom of God. God wants us to be wholehearted about it. Amen. He doesn't want us to be half-hearted and half of what we're doing is based on what other people are saying or what our own desires are. But God wants us to be wholehearted. Like if he tells us to do something, we're like, yes, yes, Father. Yes, Father, I want to do your will. Amen. And so we need to, so you may say, all right, this is all great, but I'm not passionate about God. Well, I want to tell you something. It's that if we are not on fire for God, we're not just going to wake up one day and be like, yeah, God, I'm so excited about Jesus. You know, we are going to have to do something ourselves to get to that place. Amen. Because the Bible's not going to magically fall on our hand and fall open. And we have to actually make that decision on the inside of us. Amen. Because I know it sounds silly, but I feel like people are waiting till they feel like it. And they're waiting till the right time. But God is wanting us to stir ourselves up. Because if we wait till Sunday morning to get stirred up about the things of God, then what are we doing the rest of the week? We're not being on fire for him. We're not pursuing him. But we've got to learn how to stir ourselves up. Amen? And, you know, you may have reasons in your life why you're not passionate about God. Maybe you're discouraged. Well, get in the Word. Read Ephesians chapter 1. Read about what God says that you are, and read about who you are in Christ, and just read it over and over again. And like I said, you're not just going to feel like doing that because if you're discouraged, then you're discouraged, you know? But you have to make that choice to be your own best advocate and and read the Word yourself and stir yourself up. And if you are sick and you're discouraged because of that, then get healing scriptures out and meditate on them. Amen. And if you're sad, start laughing. Amen. I mean, it's the same principle. The pastor tells us to go ha 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 until we're laughing. But we can say I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God, until we're like, hallelujah, I'm a child of God. Amen. And so it's the same principle that we have to stir ourselves up to get to that place of being on fire for him. Amen. All right, so let's turn to Matthew 22, and let me make sure I didn't miss anything here. We must be willing to take the steps to be fervent towards God. We must be willing to be that on fire for God, Christian. Amen? But I'm going to tell you why. Amen? All right, so in Matthew 22, verse 36, it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind." And in the Message translation, it says, "Teacher, which command is in God's law is the most important?" Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important and first on our list." So we're supposed to love the Lord with our all and with all our passion, with all our intensity, amen? And we're supposed to, we shouldn't be putting more priority on the world's things than the things of Christ, amen? We should be dedicated to him because he's our Father and we are children of God and he desires to have that relationship with you. He desires to have conversations with you daily, amen? And he didn't create us on this earth to not talk to him. He wants to have that fellowship together. Amen. And so So because this verse tells us plainly, it's the greatest commandment. That's one reason why we're to do it. We're to love God with all of our passion in prayer. And now let's turn to Psalms 91. Amen. All right. All right. In Psalms 91, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from perilous pestilence." And in verse 4 it says, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge." Notice it says, "because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." And so, we have all these things. We're going to be protected. We're going to be, He's our refuge. He's our fortress. I want that. Do y'all want that in your life? Want it to be your refuge? Amen. But it says, it has something in here for us. It says, because we made Him our dwelling place. Because we are fellowshipping with Him daily and incorporating Him into our life. You know, well, let's read the definition of dwell in the Strong's Concordance. It says, abide, to remain in, to inhabit, make to keep. So we are to abide in the Spirit. We are to abide in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. We are to inhabit Him and to go continually in being passionate about Him. Amen. And so, you know, you wouldn't say that you dwell in the church. Like, you're only here once or twice a week most of the time. You wouldn't say you were dwelling in here, but would you say you were dwelling in your home because you're there every day? Well, that's how it is. You know, a lot of us are like, well, I come on Sundays and I come on Wednesdays and I get the word of God, but that's not dwelling because that's only 2 days a week and only for a couple hours. And I mean, and I'm coming off as strong, but God wants us to live continually in Him. And if we are to abide in Him, that's going to take us to coming home and fellowshipping with Him and praying and reading His word and praising Him and worshiping Him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. I'm getting y'all very equipped in the Bible today with all these scriptures. You know, God put this on my heart to preach. You know, I prayed and I felt strongly that God wanted me to minister on being hot and on fire for Him. And so just take that and receive what I'm preaching today. And because God's looking for some hot and on fire Christians and people that are passionate about Him. Because, and people who are passionate about Him, He's going to be more willing to use, if I could say that, because He's going to be like, oh, this person is excited to do the things of God, and He's going to give you things to accomplish in His kingdom, amen? And so, in Acts chapter 1, okay, so the first reason was because it says it plainly in the Bible. The second reason is because we have all these promises that are listed if we dwell in Him. And if we pursue Him, that we are, no evil shall befall us. Amen? And the third reason I'm going to list in Acts 1, verse 14. Okay, here it is. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So, in my notes, I don't actually know what translation I have in my notes, but I'm assuming it's the Amplified Classic. But it says, all of these minds, in their full agreement, devoted themselves steadfastly to prayer, waiting together. And so now let's skip to Acts 2. And 2. Acts 2, 2. All right. So it says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen? So what I wanted to point out here is that they were steadfast in prayer in the chapter before. They were united, they were in one accord, and because they were in prayer, they were of the same spirit, and they had been in that atmosphere. And the next chapter is, because they were in that atmosphere, one of the greatest outpourings of the Holy Spirit happened. Amen? And so what I wanted to point out is that if we are fervent in our everyday life all week long, we're praising him, we're worshiping him as we go about our day, we're driving in the car saying, thank you, Father, for your mercies. Thank you, Father, for the things that you've done in my life. And then we're going home and reading our word, meditating on his word, then and praying, staying steadfast in prayer. And then we come to church on Sunday, and we've already been passionate about God. We've already been excited about God all week long. Then we're going to be even more, and then we're going to go home that week, and we're going to be even more passionate about God. And then we're going to get more on fire for him. And then we're going to go the next week, and it's just going to be a cycle of increase. Amen? And you know, Pastor talked about how we need to come hungry, and we have these miracle crusades coming up. And imagine if we came being passionate about God. What's going to happen in the miracle crusades? What's going to happen on Wednesday if we come to church and we all come passionate about God? Amen? Amen. Amen. God is calling his people to be passionate about him and to not just acknowledge him high by. He wants us to be having a continual relationship with him. Amen? Amen. All right, so, you know, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9 now. And I want to point out, you know, if you are not doing anything right now, and you become, like, if you read, I'm trying to figure out how to word this, if you read, like, a chapter a day, and you are excited about that, you are interested in pursuing God, and then there's the Christian who has been doing it for so long, and maybe they're doing more than the new Christian, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily, the other one's not on fire. It's just where you are, and it's your heart. You know, what are you doing from where you are, and you're in your walk, you're genuine, that's the word I'm looking for, your genuine pursuit towards God. And, you know, God's going to see that as on fire if we are making small steps towards him and we're just increasing. He just wants us to be increasing in our relationship with him. And, you know, because he doesn't, like I said earlier, he doesn't want it to be something you just check off of the list. He doesn't want it to be something that you do, even if it's 5 chapters a day, and you're reading it, and you're not meditating on it, you're not still going about your day fellowshipping with him. But he just wants us to have the heart about it, to be on fire and passionate about him. I hope I didn't just confuse you more, but amen. Amen. All right. In 1 Corinthians 9:24. Amen. Are you getting something out of this? Yes. Amen. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 9, verse 24. It says, "Do you not know that those who have run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone competes who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do for an imperishable crown." Amen? Amen. "Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." So God wants us to go through our walk in the kingdom of heaven as if it's a race. We are to be disciplined, and we're to bring our body into subjection, and we are to run for the imperishable crown, which is the kingdom of heaven in mind. Amen? And, you know, in the natural, I know several of you just ran a race, but but in the natural, you know, if you were to train for a marathon and you were wanting to win, it says to run as in to obtain a prize. If you were wanting to obtain a prize, you would do something, wouldn't you? You would run daily, you would eat right, you would do all the right things to prepare for the race. And you would have the mentality of, I want to attain this prize, and so even though maybe I want to sleep in this day, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to train because I need to for this marathon. But this is telling us to run a race in the kingdom of heaven. And so would we treat a natural race better than a spiritual race? Because God wants us to, he wants us to train. He wants us to spend time with him every day to prepare ourselves, to equip ourselves for the race. Amen? And so, you know, if you miss a training day, it's going to be easier the next day to miss, and it's going to be easier the next day to miss. And if you haven't done it for a couple days, you know, I mean, in the natural, if I was training for a race, I wouldn't want to go back and train again. I'd be like, all right, I'm done, bye race, you know? But, so I just want to encourage you, you know, it's okay. I mean, it's not going to be terrible if you miss a day, but it's going to be harder on you if you miss a day fellowshipping with him and in a relationship with you and in a relationship with him. And the more and more that we fellowship with him, the easier our life is going to be. Amen? Because we're going to have, if we are passionate and on fire for him and having that fellowship with him daily, then whenever things come against us, we're going to already have a preparedness on the inside of us. Amen? And just like whenever Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, you know, the devil came. And who's more passionate than Jesus? You know, Jesus is the ultimate example. Amen? And if Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, and what did he do? He answered with the word to everything that the devil had. And he overcame that time because he was passionate enough to be full and fellowshipped with the word and the spirit. Amen? And so, God wants us to train ourselves up in the kingdom as if to obtain a prize of good and faithful servant. He wants us to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And he wants us to run with all of our passion and effort and dedication in going about our daily life with him. Amen? Amen. And so I mentioned that you have to eat right for a race. And so next I'm going to talk about, I've told you that God wants you to be an on-fire Christian. I've told you how to stir yourself up. I've told you why. But now I'm going to say how to maintain being a passionate Christian. Amen? And the first one is that you've got to eat right. You know? If you do a spiritual race, you've got to eat spiritual food. Amen? And so we as a church, you know, if you are let's say, watching a TV show. You know, that's coming into you. You're receiving that. And you may not think that it's affecting you, but it is. You know, I've watched TV shows before, and I slowly start to morph into the characters, and like in a small way, but you know, and I've had to stop watching TV shows before because I've noticed its influence on my life, and so, you know, that's what we're feeding ourselves. That's what we are putting in our eyes, putting in our ears, and you know, the music we listen to. Are we listening to things that will make us weaker for the race or stronger for the race? Amen? Because if we are listening to things that are talking about how depressed we are, talking about how sick we are, talking about how terrible our life is, then that's what's coming into our ears. And that's what we're going to start believing, and that's going to make us weaker for the race. But if we listen to things that are lifting us up and from the Word of God, amen? And that are things that are not against His word, then we're going to be strengthening ourselves for the race. Amen? Amen. And so, I need one of those, like, page-turner things. But anyways, turn to Philippians 4, verse 8. We aren't running with the prize in mind if we are feeding ourselves things that aren't beneficial to us, amen? Because, I mean, it really does. You may think, oh, it's just a TV show. Oh, it's just, maybe it's people you're hanging around, too. It's just that. But it's affecting you. You know, the Bible says bad company corrupts, amen? And so, in Philippians 4, verse 8, I did say the verse, okay. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So this verse, this is giving us our spiritual food, amen? What we're to meditate on, the things that are true, the things that are noble, just, pure, and those are the things that we need to, those are the things that are going to uplift us and make us spiritually stronger and get us in the right mentality too, amen? Because if we are, and if we're not feeding on the right things too, then we're going to get easily out of being passionate. You know, if I'm thinking through the day and I'm thinking, oh, I'm just so depressed, or I'm just so, I don't know, maybe you're thinking bad things about yourself, then the more that you think about it, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, and you're just going to be in a place where you're not passionate anymore. That makes sense. Amen. And so we need to feed on the victory and be kingdom-minded. Amen? That's right. And Romans 12, you can turn there, and 22. Get there. It's not in there. I think I wrote Romans 12 instead of, but anyways. Yes. I was thinking that looked weird. But yes, Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Amen? So it tells us that renewing our mind helps us to not be conformed to the world. Amen? But it conforms us to God. And we are renewing our mind by getting in his word, amen, and fellowshipping with him and doing what Philippians 4 said and meditating on what is good and lovely and just, amen. And we have to renew our mind or else we will be tempted to conform to the world and be a lukewarm Christian. And so that is the first way. It's just so important to get in his word, because whenever we are knowledgeable in what his word says and we've been meditating in it ourselves, then whenever the temptation comes to not be passionate, we'll have the backup. We'll have what to say, and we'll have how to stir ourselves up too. You know, because if you are passionate about God, then there's not going to be ever a time whenever you don't feel like being passionate about God. You know, and whenever you are equipped in knowing the word of God, you can know how to stir yourself up. Amen? Amen. And so Romans 12, verse 11 now. Let me just make sure I got this scripture right. Yes, it is. Okay, we read it earlier. Okay, so in verse 11, it says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And so that's the other part, is continuing steadfastly in prayer. That is how, because that's fellowshipping with him, amen? That's fellowshipping with him. And, you know, Rex was talking about on Wednesday, it's, you know, we can be fellowshipping with him where we're sitting down and just praying and doing nothing else in the moment. And that is good. We should do that. We have to do that to hear what he has for us. Amen. But it can also be just going about your day while you're doing something, talking to God. Amen. You know, you may say, oh, I'm too busy for this, but you can just go and you can talk to God and fellowship with him throughout your everyday life. Amen. And so I was going to say this later, but I'm just going to say it now. But if we're too busy to be passionate about God, then we're just too busy. Because, you know, Matthew, I'm pretty sure it's in Matthew 6:33, says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will follow. So if we have to give something up, but we're seeking first the kingdom of God, then all the things we need and all the things we desire are still going to be there. And it's going to be a better flow whenever we're passionate about God, whenever we're taking that time to be dedicated to him, than if we weren't. Even if it seems in the natural that we're going to be missing out on something. And I just encourage you to seek God. And, you know, if you have to take something out of your life, then if God is leading you to, I'm not telling you to do something God's not leading you to do, but what I'm trying to say is just take the time. Take the time to be passionate about God. And yes, and so we're not going to turn there, but yeah, we're going to turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5. And it says in verse 16, I don't think I told you the verse, but in verse 16, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every evil form. Amen? And so, the pastor's been talking about the will of God for several weeks. It says right here, you know, we talked about how there's a specific will of God and how there's a general will of God. This is the general will of God for your life, is to pray always, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. So that sounds like a hot and on fire Christian to me. Yeah. Rejoicing always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. It just emphasizes the importance of prayer in our life. Amen? If it's enough to say, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, then it's important. Amen? Amen. And it says, hold fast what is good. Amen. And so it also says, rejoice always. And that's the third one, is how to stay on fire for God. You know, it's important to rejoice and to worship God and to praise Him, because whenever we are doing that in our lives, that's whenever we're putting our attention on Him. Amen. Because whenever we put our, whenever we're worshiping, whenever you're actively saying, I thank you, Father, I praise you, Father, you know, my brain's not thinking about all of the things that I should, or in the natural, I want to worry about while I'm doing that, but my brain is focusing on God. And the Bible says to cast your cares upon Him. And so, you know, it's not good to worry anyways. Amen. Because whenever we worry, we're not putting our focus on God. But whenever we're worshiping, we are putting our focus on God. Amen. And whenever we are honoring Him and worshiping Him, that's keeping us more passionate about God. Amen. Amen. You know, that heaven is just an atmosphere of worship. And there's just worship saturated in heaven. And that's how we need to be in our lives, is our lives need to be saturated in praise to God. Amen. And Psalms 100. Yeah, you can turn there. Amen. And I'm just going to read the whole chapter because it's not long. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know the Lord, He is God. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Amen? Amen. Amen. So you need to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Amen. And praise Him, for He is good and His mercy is everlasting. You can even just read this whole chapter to yourself whenever you want to stir yourself up. Amen. Amen. So, like I said, it is not no condo bondo. It's no condo bondo. Meaning, don't be condemned if you feel like you haven't been this hot and on fire Christian. Because God is just wanting you to spend more time with Him. And that's what He wanted me to get out to you today, is that He wants, He yearns and desires to have that relationship with you and to fellowship with you. And whenever you are in that passionate flow, then you're going to have better outcomes in your life. Amen. You're going to have already the preparation on the inside of you, and you're going to be having the blessings following after you too. Amen. And you know, it's like training for a marathon. You have to put down your flesh, because your flesh is not going to feel like doing this. It's never going to feel like doing this. Your flesh isn't, but your spirit is. And another thing that I want to say is that whenever you start, it's going to feel like you're pulling teeth. But the more and the more that you do it, the more it's going to be exciting, and you don't want to leave His presence, and you don't want to not be worshiping Him and reading His word. Amen. And you're going to be more passionate the more that you do it. Amen. Amen. And so don't get discouraged, and just know that God loves you. He loves each and every one of you in this room. And He wants to have a deeper relationship with you. That's why He put this on my heart to preach to you, is because He wants to have that relationship with you. And He doesn't want to just have a high-bye relationship. He wants to have a dwelling, abiding, on fire for God relationship. Amen? Because if I was friends with somebody and I just talked to them like once a week compared to somebody that I talk to every day, you know, and fellowshiped with, then I'm going to be closer to that one that I'm talking to every day. Amen? And so I just encourage you today to check your heart. And if you are on fire for him, there's more fire. Amen? You can always come up higher and acknowledge him more in your life and praise him more and just incorporate him more into your daily life. Amen?
stand up and we'll dismiss now. I'm hoping y'all got something today. I don't know if y'all could tell, but I could tell God was moving today. All right, we'll pray now. Father, thank you that you see us here today, and you've spoken through our mouths, and you've acted through our hands. And Father, thank you, you're on us, and you're in us, and you're preparing us for this week. And Father, you're coming with us as we go. Angels, I tell you, go out and be with us as we leave. Escort us to where we need to be. Do all you can for our benefit. Thank you, Father, for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.